How Not to Suck a Divorce podcast cannot be copied or rebroadcast without consent. This podcast does not contain legal advice. The information contained herein and provided on the podcast and the resources available are not intended and shall not be construed as legal advice. And with that, enjoy the show.
The process of getting divorced might suck, but you don't have to suck at getting divorced.
You have found the only divorce podcast that's hosted by a family law attorney and a recovering comedian. Get ready for action steps, empathy, and a lot of laughs.
This is How Not to Suck at Divorce. You spoke, we listened.
Our number one product, the Divorce Crash Course, is now available as a private podcast.
So for $150, you'll have access to listen to the DCC just like you're listening to this episode right now. You can watch the DCC and you'll get the printable workbook.
More importantly, you'll get insider information to save up to thousands of dollars on your divorce.
The Divorce Crash Course, expert divorce guidance for a fraction of the price. Check out the link in our show notes or visit thedivorcecrashcourse.com.
So I had one of my kids' birthday parties this week, which is, you know, joyful, exciting, all the things that a parent feels. But there's something nagging at me about it. And I want to know if you experience the same thing. Are you ready for it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I appreciate everything about it. I'm excited to celebrate. We have the birthday party with the friends. Mm-hmm. And then this like dread comes over me when I'm watching my kid open all the presents. And it's not about the gifts that he gets or what they're giving or anything like that. You know what it's about?
No.
That I'm not going to write thank you cards.
Oh,
and I
yeah.
want to walk. Yeah, I want to walk you through it. I want to walk you through what goes through my head. Okay. Because it's really bothering me here. Well, I see all these gifts and then I'm like, I know I should write thank you cards, but I don't have time to write thank you cards. So officially, I know right away that I'm a jerk. Then I think to myself, well, I could make my kid, if I'm a good parent, I could make my kid write thank you cards, even though he can barely write. And then I'm like, well, that's just going to make me crazy trying to get through a million thank you cards. And then I was thinking, should I just hire some child to write thank you cards for him?
Oh, wow.
Because yeah, I went there. And, you know, you just feel like a jerk because you know you're not going to get to it. You know you should get to it. And then you know what the worst part is when you get a thank you card. That makes me feel like that's the biggest F you ever when a thank you card comes from another child.
Yeah, what the?
And you're just like, you know, superstar parent over there. You know that child wrote like it was like a sweatshop over there writing 40 thank you cards.
Maybe they hired somebody. Maybe you don't know. It could be some kid in Indonesia who is writing the card. I don't know. I first of all, let's back up. I've never in my life gone to the place where I thought maybe I could hire somebody to write a thank you card. So that I think Morgan, you've reached a whole new level.
Thank you.
In like arriving, because I want to be you when I grow up. Thank you. The whole thing is so obnoxious to me. I agree with everything you said, but one thing that you kind of glazed over that I think is also really annoying is just the gifts in general. I don't know. Maybe I'm the only person here. I think gifts are obnoxious. I hate toys. Fuck you and your toys. I get rid of most of them. I donate them to the poor because I'm a good, caring person, and my whole life is basically dedicated to charity. But I hate it every time I see, you know, I'll tell you what can really fuck right off. Get fucked. If a person gives my kid Legos on my shit list, like we're not a Lego family. I didn't even let my kids know that Legos were a thing. Like every time they would get it, they're like, what is this? I'm like, oh, that's weird. Lego. Oh, I don't know what those are. We should give them to the poor.
We should give them to the poor. But I have to challenge you for one thing, because, you know, now the parents, I appreciate it because I don't want all this crap either. And our kids don't need it. They're so fortunate as they are. They don't need all this junk and gifts. But I have had birthday parties recently where parents would be like, this is a no gift birthday party. So then you're like, this feels like a challenge. Like this feels like you're kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't. So I always go gift because I'm like, I feel really awkward.
Okay. So we did recently get an invite to a no gift birthday party. And I thought, man, like I kind of liked that vibe. Like they were like, they did the whole like, your child's present is enough for us. I'm like, okay. But I liked it. I liked that kind of badassery that they were channeling. Like, we don't need your fucking dumb gifts. We don't need your fucking $25 Target gift card. We're just fine. You know, I don't know. I get what you're saying. I hate birthday parties. Let's just go back to that. You were like, I feel the honor and the joy. I don't. The whole thing stresses me out. I hate everything about birthday parties. I don't want to have anything to do with it. They are very stressful. They're overwhelming. I don't even think the kids have a good time because I think they feel a lot of pressure too. Or I know mine do because I probably ask them every 5 minutes, don't you feel pressured? Don't you want to just leave? Let's just get out of here. You want to go smoke a cigarette? It's just like, I don't know. I hate it all. I feel like I want to go back to the time when we were kids and this stuff was so simple.
We were simple. Like,
right? You ordered a pizza. You prank called boys. You froze each other's underwear. You, like, maybe you got a new Paula Abdul CD, and that was, like, amazing. BTW, I 100% have a picture. I'm going to text you in just a second as soon as I find it. I know it's on my phone of me opening a Paula Abdul CD at a birthday party. And I think I also had a perm.
She was where it's at. She was where it's at.
But, like, it was just easy and fun. Now it's like, come to my birthday party at the Jump Zone where we rented out the whole place and we're going to show off everything that we have and bring me lavish gifts and write a thank you card.
I know. But that kind of brings me to what we're talking about today, which is
things that overwhelm us.
Yeah, exactly. Things that overwhelm us, which is back to school, although that doesn't overwhelm me because I'm like, go back to school. So we're talking today about the back to school survival guide for divorcing and divorced parents, which is so perfectly timed.
Yeah, because the back to school bliss, if you will, hits a little different for divorcing or divorced parents. And the recent post that we did on Instagram that has, I just checked, now 620,000 views, tells us that you guys are right there with us with the stress that comes with the back to school vibes.
Yep, you're right. And if you haven't seen the video, it is one that Andrea put together, but it is from an oldie but a goodie, a Real Housewives clip. If you know Andrea, you know that's her vibe. That is her jam. Mm-hmm. And basically explaining the video, if you haven't seen it, it's, I can't even name what housewife it was, but
Dorinda Medley.
Oh, okay. Dorinda Medley. So basically somebody asks Dorinda like how she's doing and she jumps right down their throat and is like, how am I doing? How am I doing? I'm not doing well, bitch. That's basically what she says. And so sure. the point of Andrea's thing was talking about going back to school when you're making small talk with other parents about how are you? How are you? That was what Andrea put together,
what
which
are you
was
doing. How you doing? You know what? I'll be here. Yeah. How you doing? How you doing? You know what? I'll tell you how I'm doing. Not well, bitch.
That is a better rendition than I did.
Because it's like, shut up. I don't know if other people, I mean, you guys know our personalities by now, and you know that Morgan's the one taking the girls' trips. I'm the one rocking back and forth in the bathroom, hoping that nobody invites me on a girls' trip because that stuff just makes me nauseous. But I buckle when it comes to socializing, especially when you don't wanna. And this whole episode is just about how do you do the things that you don't wanna do because you feel really overwhelmed? And what can you do differently so that you have an action plan for all of the potential back to school potholes you might run into if you're going through a divorce or you're divorced?
That's right. So today we're going to give you some tips and action items so that you don't lose your, lack of a better term, shit and say, not well, bitch. Mm-hmm. And let's do a little bit better when people ask you how you're doing at these back to school functions.
Okay. So the first thing that I'm thinking of that can be tricky for divorcing individuals or people who are already divorced is managing communication with the teacher. Because now Mrs. So-and-so or Mr. So-and-so has to email two parents and not just one parent. Is there some sort of legal guidance here, Morgan, before we just tell people what we would do?
So it depends on where you are, in what state. Mostly there are not, from what I've seen, laws about how to communicate with teachers. But there are problems when you do it the wrong way. Mm-hmm. So let me give you some ideas of what the wrong way would be. You know, Johnny forgot his homework or Johnny's having a bad day. You just blast off to the teacher, Johnny forgot his homework, he's having a horrible day. Oh, by the way, he's going to my ex Brenda's house today. And if you know our podcast, you know we talk about Chad and Brenda all the time. That's our resident couple here. So it's Chad emailing the teacher, not including Brenda, saying something's up with their child and basically just cutting her out completely. So what does that do? I mean, it puts the teacher in a pretty bad spot, an awkward spot. Ma or Brenda is completely out of the loop of what's going on. So the legal advice here is to communicate better, put both parties, even if you have a difficult relationship with your ex, put them on the communications to the teacher. If you need to say something, you might be thinking to yourself, I can't even communicate with this person. Like, what if I have to say, like, Johnny's having a bad day because dad, you know, yelled at him? Well, that's something you might want to pop into the school at like a party and say, hey, just so you know, we're going through a tough time. Like, I'm really sorry. But don't put it in writing. But anything you're communicating with the teachers or the schools, the gold standard is to put your spouse or your ex-spouse on those emails.
And as somebody who went through this, you want to make sure that you set the teacher up for success. The teacher might not know that Johnny or, you know, little Mackenzie with an M apostrophe, Mackenzie, has divorced parents, right? You're not the only family they're dealing with. They have a lot of people. So I think that it's great. And as I'm saying this right now, I'm like, oh, fuck, I have to do this myself. Send an email out at the beginning of the year that just says, like, hi, putting, you know, dad on here too. I just wanted to let you know that, you know, that we have two separate households. And so I just want to make sure that dad and I are both on all of the emails, blah, blah, blah. And set that expectation, because I'll tell you, when you don't do that, it is very common for teachers to just have one email per household. It has to do with the different types of form fills that they use, and they're not doing it intentionally, but you could get left off of things that it's going to really irritate you. And so you need to help the teacher communicate in the most effective way.
I love what you said. I agree with you 100% of the time. That's how you should do it. And you said it, you put it in an email that doesn't put the teacher in a bind or in an awkward position. So if you're listening and you're in this position where Andrea was just talking about, do it exactly like Andrea said. It really sets the tone for the rest of the year. What I don't want you to do, and what I see too many parents doing, is let the teacher focus on teaching your kid.
Right.
Don't put the teacher in a bind. Don't put the teacher hidden against your Chad versus Brenda. We don't want that. We want them to focus on taking care of little Johnny and keep your nonsense out of the teacher, because I have seen it happen. One, it gets very awkward for both parties. Two, judges don't like it. Three, school districts don't like it. And then they start hopping in and you've got a big, big problem on your hands. Nobody wants to get involved with your divorce at a school.
Not to mention, most people who would be doing this are people in high conflict situations, right? Because if everything's easy and it's like not a lot of stress, then you're not going to have that fire in you to send off an email that says, I just want to let you know I'm going through a horrible divorce. She has borderline personality disorder. He's a narcissist. I'm going to fucking burn the house down, blah, 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 right? And I get it. Like, I get it. Go. The problem with that, in addition to everything Morgan just said, if you are a high conflict family, there's a high probability that at some point in your divorce, you might get an AFC or a GAL. Well, guess what? If they're communicating with the school, that's going to make you look real bad, because then the school is going to say, oh yeah, we got an email right off the bat of so-and-so saying that they're in a high conflict situation, blah, blah, blah. And a lot of times, the person who's pointing the fingers and saying there's conflict is the one who looks like the troublemaker.
Agreed. And if you are wondering what an AFC or a GAL is, maybe you're new to this podcast, it's somebody that basically in the court process may represent the children or maybe the eyes and ears of the court to figure out what's in the best interest. Know that your communications to the school, it's not confidential. Those are easily obtainable. You want to look like the good person. So let's talk about what you do, because this is a big one. What you do if you're with your co-parent, if you're not getting informed of school events or keeping up on school-related information. I want to talk to you as a lawyer. And here's the thing I want you to know. I mean, this is not the school's first rodeo. You are not the first person to break up, get divorced, etc. They've been down this road a million times. So this is kind of hard to swallow because I have a lot of clients saying this, well, I'm not getting the information. Brenda's not giving me the information. So therefore, you know, I missed the school dance because Brenda didn't give me the information. I am going to tell you right now, it is your duty to get the information. It's not Brenda's job. And I have never seen a school yet that doesn't allow you to sign up for the same emails, be informed on the same things, same PTA. You have to do it to get the information.
And I want to just say that I actually did run into a problem a few years ago where there was a flaw in the system. And it was only the person, because Dad and I live in different areas. And so some emails and actual mail goes to one house. So like test scores and other things get mailed to the residential parent, right? And the kid, the school is zoned to Dad's house. So I can say firsthand, sometimes there are things that only go to one person. And what Morgan is saying is, you have to be proactive. You don't come at anybody accusatory, and you just say, what can I do to help, you know, so that I can get as much information as possible? The other thing that I'm going to tell you that you might not like me saying, not every single fucking thing matters. It just doesn't. Do I know the rankings that of where my kids scored last year in the state of Illinois? No. I mean, I'm sure they were number one because they're really fucking smart, but do I know every single thing that their dad knows? No, because I don't get the mail. And you know what? It doesn't really matter. You can't hold on to every single thing. It's not going to be perfect. Now, you also have to use your thinking brains and think, like, what are the things that are really important that I need to know? And what are the things? You're going through a divorce, right? Shit ain't great for you. Pick your battles. Not every single thing is something that you want to go to war over. So I think the action here is a combination of looking at what's really important and being proactive with communication. Set up the expectations.
And I agree with Andrea. Let's just set the expectations. But if you're out there and you're like, I really do care about my kids' scores and how they scored, which I do, right? So, and it might not be exactly what everyone cares about.
Right.
Go to the school. What Andrew is saying, what I'm saying is, you're right. Be proactive. It might not be perfect, but go to the school and say, hey, I'm really interested in seeing what Johnny's scores are on this test. Like, how do I get access to this? I'm not getting access online. Most schools that I'm seeing these days have most of the things uploaded online. Most of the things have a login that you will have access to if you sign up for it. Where we have problems is when one parent just doesn't sign up and thinks they're going to get all the other information from their ex. It might have worked when you were married that your ex gave you all the information, but it certainly, that ex, let's just say Brenda, she's not going to be your secretary anymore.
Right.
Not going to happen. So you've got to be proactive.
Now, let's take it one step further. We're now telling them, you know, go contact the school and say, hey, I would like to find a way to get this information. Again, we don't want you to say, I want to get this information directly from you because I can't trust that Chad's going to give it to me, because not only is he balding, but he's a real piece of shit right now and he's not communicating with me. Now, and I'm telling you this from a woman who had personally, I probably did share things that I shouldn't have shared with teachers, because when I got divorced, and you guys know this, we've talked about this before, I lost my fucking mind for a while. I did some wild things, probably, allegedly. So Morgan, let's give them the language, right? Like, mm-hmm. we don't want them to throw their ex under the bus because it's not going to make you look good. So what's a more neutral way that they can present that?
Yeah, that's a good question. And what you said, I'm going to go back to what you said, because I actually think that was kind of genius the way that you said it.
Mm.
You don't even have to tell the school we're divorced, we're divorcing, we're breaking up. But I love, we're breaking up. I broke it's up with Chad. His baldness just really got to me. I just broke it off.
We are never, ever, ever getting back together.
That's right. So one of the things that Andrea said that I think is the best way to go about it is, hey, school, you know, just letting you know, we have two different households now with two different addresses. And I really want to find a way to get the same information to both households. What's the best way to do that? It's so neutral. You're not telling them that you're divorced or breaking up or broken up. You're basically just saying, we have two addresses. And how do I get the information?
And to that point, actually, right now, in most areas, schools are bending over backwards to make all kind of accommodations for family units that don't look like a traditional unit. In the era of everything, I mean, we are in times right now where you have children going managing things that they have never managed before. We have all kinds of accommodations being made. I think that schools are going to be I think it's an ever-evolving situation, but I think that schools are doing everything they can to ensure that the child has the healthiest experience possible. So yep. Again, going back to the action items, just to make sure we're keeping all of this very clear for you guys. Number one, you're at the beginning of the school year right now. Set up that expectation with the teacher. Hi, Mr. So-and-so, Mrs. So-and-so. I just wanted to give you a heads up that Mackenzie has two households. Hi, I'm mom. CC'd is dad or other mom or whatever. This is my email address. This is their email address. We would so appreciate if emails can be sent to both of us regarding Mackenzie's, you know, blah, 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 blah. And then with the school, same thing. And then I always say, not sure if there's an official form I need to fill out. Let me know if there's anything that I can do to make it easier. But I just wanted to let you guys know that, you know, we do have two separate households, so blah, blah, blah. You want to make sure that you set up the tone at the beginning of the school year to be as kind and as I will work with you as much as possible. Because teachers and, you know, administrative staff at schools, they're all human. They're going to, just like how we talk about this, judges and attorneys are human too. If you're a dick, they're not going to like you as much. And if you set up at the beginning of the year with, I am a nice, normal, kind person, guess what? If you have a moment where you're not your best and you roll into the school and you're like crying or you're in pajamas or your kid is 30 minutes late or, you know, you tell someone to fuck off, but then you say you're sorry with a Starbucks gift card, may or may not have done that before, JK, they're going to be more responsive. So now is your time. Make a good impression.
All right. So let's set the next stage. Okay. So difficult parenting theme. We've got Chad and Brenda. We're back at it with them. And they have a school function. It's a back to school night that they both have to go to. And Chad just can't stand being around Brenda at school functions. What do we do?
I think that everyone listening to the show right now is saying, yeah, what do we do? Because they're dreading that. It's uncomfy. Yep. It's uncomfy. We've been there. I mean, every single person listening to this show, if you guys have already gone through a school year, you're thinking, yeah, those concerts were really uncomfy. Mm-hmm. Morgan, this is an area where I think it's really tricky to tell people, this is the gold standard. This is what you do and this is what you don't do. And here's why.
Ugh.
Depending on how much tension there is right now between the parents, sitting together is not always the best choice for the kids. Let's say you've got one sibling on stage singing My Heart Will Go On, and you've got one sibling in the audience with dad. Let's say it's dad's parenting day. And then mom is coming to the function because mom is coming to the function, right, to watch. sometimes it makes that other sibling so uncomfortable to sit there with mom and dad if there is palpable tension. So as much as it sucks to be the person whose parenting day it is not, sometimes the right choice is you sit away from them, you're there to support, you are pleasant and kind, but you don't insert yourself in somebody else's time. And you might be thinking, what the hell are you talking about? That's not right. I'm a mom every single day. I know, that was me. I thought the same thing. I'm a mommy every single day. I should be able to sit with my kids every single day. I don't care whose parenting time it is. It doesn't always work out to the best benefit of the kids. Now, if you're at, let's say it's parent night, that's coming up for a lot of us, right? Where you have to go and listen to the teachers give their little spiel about, in my classroom, we like to explore. Okay. Then it's, and the kids are not home, right? If you guys can just sit near each other and get through it, that's going to be the best thing. You're probably not going to have to talk to each other because somebody else is doing all of the talking. But if tensions are really high and something wild just happened that day between the two of you, either in court or between attorneys, then maybe it's a better idea that you just politely keep your distance, never start a scene at the school. And again, Morgan, I'm sure you've had people come to you and tell you crazy things that have happened, and you've probably cringed and thought, can't you guys do better? And I'm telling you, as someone who's been in that place, it's hard sometimes to do better. It's uncomfy. What are your thoughts?
Well, let's break it in my mind. Let's break it into two different happenings. The first one, let's talk about when the kids are not present. So it's a back to school night where it's like, meet the teacher. No kids are coming. It's all the parents. You want to look like a good parent. So depending on how high conflict you are, you know, sometimes it's awkward because at least depending on how old your children are, sometimes when you get into the classroom, it's like, sit at Johnny's desk. Yeah. So like, is Chad going to sit at Johnny's desk? And Brenda's like over in the back of the room, like all the parents are looking. So one thing you might want to do, I have two options for you. The first thing is to email Chad in advance or text him and say, if you're Brenda, and say, listen, Chad, I know we're having struggles right now. I know we're having bad communication, but for the sake of putting on a united front, I'm okay to sit next to you. I will not, I promise you, I will not make a scene. I will not talk to you, but like, let's do this for Johnny. That's the first option. See if you can do that. And all you have to do is sit next to each other. Just put on a united front for the other parents and tell everyone else to screw off. If you can't do that, and I get it, there are couples that cannot do that. That is okay. Mm-hmm. So the other thing I would say to you is see if you can find a friend in the room who knows what's going on that you can actually show up with. So and sit with them. And I don't think that many people would feel awkward or say no. I think that it would just be something to make you take the edge off because it's always awkward when you get there and you're looking around and you're like, who are these people? Those are the two best options. Third option is just don't sit together. Walk away. You don't have to anything to prove. You don't need to say hello to them. You don't need to do any of that. Just sneak in, maybe sneak in right after or right before they start and go to your own area. So that's when they're not present. When the children are present, Andrea is absolutely right. Remember, take yourself and your ex out of it. Put your kids first. So all I say to people and my clients specifically is when you're in front of the kids, they feel the tension, they feel stress. We don't want that. All you need to do is say hello to the other parent. Be the bigger person. Even if they say nothing to you, even if they roll their eyes, even if they tell you to go, you know what? Say hello because it shows you're the bigger person. And I will tell you that later on in life, when your children get older, they will know that you were the bigger person. You don't have to tell them. They see it. And that's all you have to do. But Andrea's right. If it's going to cause havoc and cause stress, you don't need to sit together. All they need to know is, you know, if you're Brenda, mommy was in the audience and you guys did phenomenal. Give them a hug and get out of there. Hi to Chad. How are you doing? That's it. That's all you got to do.
I thought of something.
Okay.
We have another issue. So going back to parent night, right? Parent night's going to fall on somebody's parenting day. So like, let's say that parenting night falls on a Monday and it's a mommy day. So the kids are with you. You can't really go to parenting night. because you have to be home with the kids. Let's say you can't get a sitter, right? Let's say no one's available to watch the kids. You can't go to parenting night. Is that the absolute worst thing in the world? I'm going to tell you, no, that's okay. But you need to communicate to the teacher and be proactive about it so that for all intents and purposes, you don't come off like a parent who's not involved and doesn't care, right? Also knowing that you might not get filled in on things that you missed out on if you're divorcing somebody who's got some big feelings about this and wants to intentionally leave you out of whatever information was learned at parent night, which also nothing is learned at a parent night. Let me tell you.
Nothing is learned at parent night.
It's a fucking waste of time. I don't care. I wish I never had to go to a parent night ever again. And I'm obsessed with my kids. I know I come off like, oh, I don't care. Yeah. I am obsessed with my babies. I am not obsessed with parent nights. It's
no.
Dumb. Everyone's just swinging their dick around like, oh, I'm so cool. Oh, I had a great summer. I had an amazing summer. I did this and I did that. And in our class, we love to explore and look at how many. Johnny wants you to play a game of guess how many fish are in the fishbowl. Oh, my God. Enough. Nobody cares. It's not that big of a deal. I think personally, communicate with your teacher. I'm so bummed that I'm not able to attend parent night. I would love to find a time when I can come by and meet you, blah, blah, blah. I mean, also, like, gifts go a long way. I don't know what your opinion is on that, Morgan, but I love starting off the year with not sure if you can use this, not sure if you're a coffee girly or a McDonald's Diet Coke girl. So here's a McDonald's gift card. Here's a Starbucks gift card. Can't wait to meet you.
Okay, so two things you said. One is, if you can't make it, you can't make it. You're no different than any other parent. You don't have to be divorced to say, I can't make it. They don't need to know. You might be on a work trip. You might just be out with the guys that night. It doesn't matter.
No.
What matters is you try to get the information. So that's number one. And I think that you can just say flat out, I'm really sorry, I can't make it tonight. Can you follow up with any slides you did or information? That's it, the end. Don't worry about it. Yeah. Well, they always have slides that you have to watch. It's like the brutal PowerPoint that you're standing there twiddling your thumbs. But anyway, if you can't make it, you can't make it. Moving on to gifts, I am a firm believer of just being kind in general. I think it goes so far, whether it's your lawyer, whether it's your therapist, your garbage man, we don't care. Just be kind. You don't have to buy things. You can just give a simple compliment. But if you want to buy something, I think it goes a long way, a little gift here and there. It doesn't have to be big. No. $5, go get yourself a cup of coffee. Something like that. All right, let's move on.
Because it's the thought, right? It's letting people know that we are treating you like a human. And like we said before, you want to start that relationship off strong. Your school and your teachers will be your friend. Use them to your advantage. The more that your children have people in their corner supporting them. A long time ago, you know, we often do episodes about part of your divorce team needs to be your community, not only for you, but for your kids. Your school, your kids' school, that is the heart of their community. So make it a good, safe place. Speaking of the kids, what if you have kids who are really uncomfortable when mom and dad are around each other and with a whole school year ahead of events, you see that the kids are really suffering. And I'll tell you one of the reasons why I'm mentioning this right now. Yesterday was the first day of school for my kids. And it was the first day of school for a lot of kids in a lot of different areas. And there was something that came up in our private community that was heartbreaking and also not surprising, where there were kids who were brought to school by one parent because it was that person's parenting day. And then the other parent came to the school to say, like, yay, Mackenzie, it's your first day. Oh, my God. I'm so happy for you. And Mackenzie wouldn't even make eye contact with that other parent because they felt so uncomfortable. I can't tell you how many times I've seen this happen in real life. And it is awful. I have also lived through those moments when my kids were younger and I now know like what was going on in their mind and the things that they were being told, and it's awful. So we're going to try to help you through that one right now. And I know that this is a tricky subject to tackle, but Morgan, what do we have for them?
Oh, no big deal. Just throw it to me. Let me just tell you.
Well, my job here is done, bye.
Yeah. So what you're talking about is something we call, divorce lawyers call, a loyalty bind. The kids are in a loyalty bind. They love both parents. And no matter what Chad says negative about Brenda, they're still going to love Brenda. And what Brenda says bad about Chad, they're still going to love Chad. The problem is when they're put into this loyalty bind, they don't know how to react because they are children. So number one, it's up to you as parents to figure that out. And hopefully you can. It's not uncommon to have that happen. And so there's a few things that you can do about it. Number one is tell your co-parent, hey, I'm noticing this behavior. Can we work on, I know we might not get along, but can we work on something where I'm there and I say hello and we both just work on it for the best interest of the child? Might work, might not. Another option is you talk to your child and you say, hey, you know, when I was there, Mackenzie.
Thank you.
When I was there, I noticed that you kind of looked uncomfortable when I was there saying, have a great day at school. Like, did it make you feel uncomfortable? And see if they'll talk to you. If it did, then just ask point blank. I'm really sorry that it made you feel like that. I never want to make you feel like that. Would it be easier if I didn't come to those things when it's Chad's time? And I know that that's a hard thing to hear as a parent. If Mackenzie says, yeah, that would make me feel a lot better. But respect your kids and what they're going through. It's not about you. It's about them. And if you are putting them constantly in this trick bag because of their feelings, and it's not anything you're doing except showing up, I would just give a little space.
Let's address briefly, and this is not for everybody, so guys, calm down. Not everybody is in this situation. If this behavior seems systematic and the co-parent A or co-parent B is seeing a pattern with this, at what point do you consult your attorney, and what is the language we want them to use to address this?
So I would say after a few times of this happening, this is something you want to talk to your attorney about and see where you are, what jurisdiction you are, what can happen, like what you guys can do better. Like for where I am, for instance, there are things that we can do to make parents better parents, co-parenting therapy. We can get the kids into therapy. We can mediate certain things and put protocols in place of how the parents are going to behave around one another when these situations come up. A lot of times, and I'm not going to blame one side or the other, it's just, it's new. Yeah. People are going through a divorce. Maybe it is high conflict. And they just don't know how to act. And unfortunately, Andrea and I always talk about this, when you're going through a divorce, the best way to act, but it's the hardest way to act, is like it's a business deal. Emotions come out. They do. And that's what unfortunately happens. And that's when you need your lawyer to walk you through some options.
So again, recapping on this action item, as far as what do we do with involving kids? Number one, make sure that the focus is always what's the healthiest outcome for the child. And that's going to sometimes mean putting your feelings aside. If you are noticing that this is a pattern and that your gut is telling you this feels very unhealthy, then reach out to your attorney. But do not reach out to your attorney and write them this dribble drabble diatribe of everything. Be smart. This is where using our communicating with an attorney guide for the low, low price of $20, but seriously, $20 freaking, not only do we tell you how to speak to your attorney, but this is exactly where you want to utilize a timeline, which we give you a template for the timeline in that guide. This organizes all of the different events that have happened, and you can show your attorney, because your attorneys need to see things in black and white. It's challenging because a lot of this is all gray area, but it needs to be in black and white so that they can see, is this a legal issue? Is there anything we can do about this to help make the situation healthier for the kids? Sometimes you can and sometimes you can't. And you know what? The fact that right now you're even listening to this episode should tell you that you are trying to do everything in your power to be as healthy as possible for these children. So good for you.
Yeah, good for you. And keep trying. It's not going to be flawless. That's what I want you to know. None of my clients, no matter how great they are together, even, you know, divorcing, none of them are perfect.
No.
And we're not expecting that. And Andrea certainly wasn't perfect during her divorce. You're just not going to be perfect and you're going to have some bumps.
And I'll tell you, we talk about this a lot on the show about 5 years out, things can be different. So let me tell you a quick story. A few years ago, dropping my kids off at school on the first day was horrible. We're talking tears from me, not from my kids, they're fine, but like tears from me in the car afterwards, feeling so uncomfortable. You know, I did have kids with like looking down, not wanting to say hi to mommy because that particular year it was daddy bringing them. I felt terrible. I felt uncomfy for them. I was really sad. Like I said, we just had the first day of school yesterday, and it wasn't like that. Now, their dad and I didn't skip off holding hands and grabbed a coffee together afterwards. But, you know, I met him at the car with the kids. Hey, how are you? How did the kids sleep? Fine. You know, I fixed their hair. We walked up together. I said, hey, do you want to divide and conquer? I'll take one, you take the other, and go wait at the separate doors. Okay, sure. Okay, great. And then after that, I even got a phone call saying, hey, I need to hand you, you know, so-and-so's retainer. Awesome. Met again, handed me the retainer. He looked at me with eyes of love. And I was like, no, I'm sorry. It's not going to happen. And he was like, please. And I was like, no. And he was like, come on. I was like, I can't. But you know what? I'm just joking, you guys. Morgan's over here laughing. And I don't want people to be like, oh my God, that really happened? No. Believe me.
I'm trying to keep my laughter in.
There was no eyes of love. I don't even think he made eye contact. But what I'm saying is it was so much better. It does get better. And I was standing right next to a woman who is divorced, who was having a really bad first day drop-off experience. And I looked at her and I said, I promise you, it will get better. It will get better.
That's true. Just hang in there. All right, let's wrap it up. What are we ending on?
Let's end on my favorite subject, which is not math, even though I was so bad at math, Morgan. Like, true story. I'm going to find you another picture. But beyond me opening up a Paula Abdul CD, there's got to be a picture of me failing a math class somewhere because I probably failed them all. But my adult worst subject is socializing. And just to remind you all, this is me.
Yeah, I'm doing not well, bitch.
That's me.
Busy.
Not well, bitch. Don't ask me how I am. I hate. How was your summer? Questions. I hate them. I never know. Mm-hmm. I didn't have it. My summer was fucking boring. I worked. I don't care that you went on a vacation. I could not care less. I don't care about where your kids went to camp. I don't care that you took a vacation. And you don't even care about mine. Why are we doing this? But again, I'm terrible at socializing. So maybe you're not as bad as me. But let's give people some things that they can do, Morgan, where let's say maybe normally they're a great socializer. But right now, because they're really hurting inside or their guard is up because they're going through stuff, what do they do?
Okay, that's a good question. I mean, I think that you need to know that you don't have to go to things. You don't have to. But here's the big but. Mm-hmm. Socialization is good for your mental health when you are going through a divorce, right? It just is. Research is there. It's just really good. I'm not saying every night, et cetera. I'm also not saying to you, go hang out and socialize. You know, like, it's the same thing with me. I'm pretty social. Andrea is the opposite. I could probably walk into a room and be okay, but there is some uncomfortableness that happens with even the best people who are socializing. When you're in a room full of people, you don't really know that well. So would I suggest that you should just throw yourself into like parent night when they're out at a bar and everyone's having a drink? No, that's like my worst nightmare. I'm not saying do that. What I am saying to do is maybe there is a mom at the school, if you're Brenda, or a dad at the school, if you're Chad, that you're like, hey, that person looks and seems pretty cool. I could maybe hang out with them. Go get a glass of wine with them. You don't have to pour your heart out about your divorce or how you're feeling or how Johnny's having a hard time because of the divorce. You don't even have to go there, but make a friend. And when you are friendly enough and you want to loop them in, you can. All I'm saying is 45 minutes, a glass of wine, a cup of coffee, you will feel better when you leave that place. I am not saying go to the awkward big socialization group things. Like, that is not what I'm saying.
Right. And know what works for you. I think it's important to know, like, how is your cup filled, you know, and do more of that. Like, for me, I thrive with, like, one-on-one stuff, right? I can go out with a girlfriend or my husband and sit at a bar for hours and, like, feel so fulfilled from having, like, a really great connection. Like, because I don't want people to think that I'm, like, some person who hides in her closet with her designer clothes. Like, I do get out. I do talk to people. Morgan and I go out, not frequently, but we go out and I see sunlight and it's fine. But know how you are and honor that. And when you're going through a hard time, don't force yourself to do things that make you really, really uncomfortable. But going back to that big but, push yourself a little. Because if you never get out, you're not going to get better. So you have to take the sweatpants off at some point and find pants that button, or just find really cute lounge pants, which we can totally link some of the ones we're obsessed with in the show notes, because Morgan and I live in, like, really cool pants that don't always have zippers. But, like, put on a pair of heels and a cute blazer with maybe a t-shirt underneath and go do something. And guess what? If you go to that mom's night or the dad's night and you hang out for 10 minutes, right?
You did it.
It's okay. You can leave early. Maybe you have better places to go. Try. You don't know if you try. And I'm going to take my own advice. Maybe, actually, as I just said that, I'm not kidding you. The insides were like, no, Andrea, don't tell you're going to do this. You don't want to do this. You're not going to a mom's night. Okay, take it back. I'm not going to try this. But the rest of you should. So do as I say, not as I do. Yeah, definitely not. But, like, you guys, try. You don't know unless you try. It's so not funny how much I'm actually shaking right now. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to hire someone to show up for me.
Great idea.
That's how we're going to show together. That's why this is the number one divorce podcast, because we bring the shit together. I'll tell you how I'm doing.
I'd like to see Andrea. Well. Andrea version 2 out at mom's night. I'd like to see that.
Indonesian version. Oh, yes. I am Andrea. So nice to meet your acquaintance.
But what I wanted you to know is, while we're wrapping the show up, sometimes it's just ripping the Band-Aid off. Going out, just getting it done with. Like Andrea said, you don't have to spend a ton of time. Remember this. Divorce is a marathon. It is not a sprint. Not every day is going to be a good day when you're going through a divorce. And sometimes it's day by day. Other times it's hour by hour. But guess what? It is okay. And you're going to get through this.
And you're going to get through this because you have people in your corner. You cannot do this alone. You cannot. You can't do anything alone. You need support. And guess what? You have the support. That is why you're listening to this show. Keep listening to the show. If you don't yet have our divorce crash course, you might want to get it. It should help you out a lot. If you don't have our guides, why not? That's why we created them. Grab the stuff. We are putting out so much to help you, and we have some really, really merch that's coming your way so soon that you guys are just going to freaking die over. So we're doing everything that we can to support you. And we are so appreciative of all of the love, all of the reviews. Oh my God, the reviews that are coming in, besides that long haul truck driver who probably is, like, hating this segment right now. He's like, will those bitches shut up? No, we won't. Guys, we are so appreciative. If you haven't yet left us a review, leave us a review. Why not? It does everybody good. And remember, even on those really bad days when you are stuck at a school function with your soon-to-be ex and you feel like you just want to crawl under your covers and die, don't, because you have got this.